Ever since Sister Shirley asked us to come down here, we have been so excited. We could not wait. It's been the highlight of our life to get down here and see everybody.
She would even ask us. I thought that, you know, I knew that Gerald liked us, but I never did know whether she liked me or not.
And so to see her and all of you and, of course, our friends, the Relafords, we've been coming down here for about 25 years.
I think
so
I got it.
We've seen your kids grow up and have kids, and
we have.
Yeah. So it's just we can't articulate really how we feel about being able to be here with y'all. And we've had a great time at Relaford's. He copped out on us this morning, took off for Louisville, but.
Yeah, he was getting ready to go out the door, and he said, "Oh, he said I was so looking forward to this." He said. Well, not this, but not going to the hospital, but anyway, we got to spend the day yesterday, Gerald and I, and while Jerry and Shirley went out and saved us some
Jerry
money.
Jerry and Laverne.
Laverne and Shirley, you know, how us did
we
it.
Saved them so much money.
And yeah.
Went up to JCPenney's having a sale, and so we saved them money. We were so excited.
But we talked about all the funny things that's happened in our lives and how the Word of God's, you know, has ruled and reigned in our hearts and the things that took place in our lives. And I had a great time. I've always had fun with Gerald Relaford. One time we was having camp meeting down here and I was staying with Gerald, and it was the one of them week-long camp meetings, and me and him would play golf on a Nintendo or whatever it was. I don't know what it was then. That was state-of-the-art game then.
Old school.
And I never could beat him. You know, he could always beat me. And he's handy with that hand. You know what? He's handy with that hand. And then when my hips were bad for all those years, and I'd come down there and I couldn't put my socks on. And I certainly couldn't tie my shoe. And I had a guy at our church that fashioned me some things that had clips on them, like actually there's roach clips. If anybody knows what a roach clip is, anyway. And I never could catch a roach with them, but anyway, they had them things, and I had hands here and a
metal,
and I was in there clinging them things around. And Gerald heard me and he said, "What are you doing in there?" I was in the bedroom trying to get my socks on, and I said, "Trying to get my socks on." He said, "I can put your socks on you." And he came in with that one hand and slipped my socks on me and then tied my shoe. He tied my shoes. I could tie my shoes, but I couldn't reach over to get them, you know. And I can still bend over, you know, and tie my shoes, but I had to hold my breath. I think that's what makes me so strong, amen. I hold my breath tying my shoes. No, actually, I wear boots. I don't have to tie them.
I always like to share a little nugget, and on the way down here, I was talking to Clifton about this, and, you know, something happened to me 2 years ago. I was not expecting it. I was not asking for it. I was just sitting in my church, minding my own business, when a lady got up and began to share about Israel. And as she did that and said her tour was different because they actually went to speak with the people, and she said, "We will stand where Abraham stood." Something just happened to me as she began to explain this. I can't explain it. I've talked to a few people about it. And they said, "Well, Jerry, God gave you a heart for Israel and for the Jewish people." And even though I've always known that it's important for us to support them, I've always known that. I was born in 1948, the same year Israel was born. And so I've kind of kept up that way. That's always been significant to me. But when she said that, I knew I was going. I had no idea what was going to happen to me there. I had no idea about anything. I mean, we just hadn't, you know, the church, the Word of Faith and Grace churches, we've not really talked about Israel. I told Clifton on the way down here, I said, "I feel like I'm an ambassador for Israel." To all the churches that we go to, I want to just make you aware of some things that you might not be aware of. Now, some of you might be. Some of you are probably ahead of me because I just, until 2 years ago, I never thought about this. And I'm going to not cry. I'm not. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So I got over there, and when that plane landed in Tel Aviv, something started happening in my heart, and every single day I cried. Nobody else on the tour cried. And they would say to me, Jerry, are you okay? Yes, I was okay, but I didn't understand all this that was going on. Thank you, sweetheart. And every single day we went, it was nonstop from the time we got on the bus in the morning until we got off the bus at night. It was constant teaching from an Orthodox Jewish tour guide that taught us things every day. We went to the Holocaust Museum, which all of us have heard about the Holocaust. We know about that. You know, you learned about that in school. I learned about that in school. But until you go to that museum, and I think there's one in Washington, D.C. Has anyone ever been to a Holocaust museum? It just takes your breath. I did that, and there's not time here to say everything I want to say, but I was baptized in the Jordan River. Now, I've been baptized, and when people would say they got baptized in the Jordan River, I used to think, well, so what? I've been baptized. See, I didn't get it, but I get it now. I get it, and God is calling people, and I'm here today by God's divine appointment, and I'm sharing what I'm going to share by God's divine appointment, just to make us aware if we're not. Like I said, some of you may be ahead of me. I've only been studying for 2 years, but I found notes from the 80s where I had written, Jerusalem is the one of the oldest cities in the world, and it's 777 feet above sea level. And I would find things that I had written, you know, all these years ago, so it's been on my heart for a long, long time. Stood in the garden tomb. He may or may not have laid there, but I felt something very awesome there. I went to the Mount of Beatitudes, where he gave the Beatitudes. Everything you read about in the Bible, I went there. Floated in the Dead Sea. When you get in the Dead Sea, you just lift your feet up and you're floating. No effort. Yeah. Have you heard that before? I had heard it, but I thought, surely not. You just lift your feet up, and there you go. It's hard to get out of the Dead Sea. It's hard to get your feet back on the ground to get out. You got to have help. But a lot of fun and a lot of neat things. I want to say two things that were shocking to me. And then I'm going to read two scriptures. We went to Bethlehem. Now, everyone knows this is where baby Jesus was born. Baby Jesus born in Bethlehem. Well, the day we went, we were told that our tour guide couldn't go. And the bus driver had to get a special permit because Jews are not allowed in there. No Israeli citizens are allowed in Bethlehem. Can you? I said, what? I mean, it was unbelievable to me. We went there and ministered. We didn't minister. We did. We gave offerings and talked to a Baptist preacher there, a Spirit-filled Baptist preacher, who has a church in Bethlehem, an Arab. He's an Arab, and his church is a Christian, of course. His brother was shot to death outside the church. He's been shot 4 times. What was his crime? He's a Christian. We don't hear on the news of the genocide, literal genocide, that is going on in Israel in the Middle East. You hear a little bit. You see some Christians get their head cut off. This is every day. Every day, every day, every day. So that was shocking to me. You could feel the difference when you went into Bethlehem, because we had been in Jerusalem. When you go into Bethlehem, you could feel the oppression. The whole spirit was different with the Arabs. The other shocking thing to me, we went to Nazareth. Now, everybody knows about Nazareth. Awesome, you know, Nazareth. Bible city, Jesus was there. Well, we go there. It's 70% Muslim. 70%. Now, I could go off on a tangent, but I'm not going to because my husband's got a word for you guys, and it's awesome. But I want to tell you two things. Israel is a major part of us, the Jews, major part of us, major, big. And I want you to pray about this and think about this. But over in, I'm just going to read two scriptures. In Genesis 12:3, Abraham here is a type of Israel. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. He was talking to Abraham, and he said this, I will bless those that bless you.
Amen.
That's what he said. I will bless those who bless you. So as we bless Israel, we are going to be blessed as a nation and personally. Now, I got to throw this in. We are the only nation, the United States of America is the only nation that has not attacked and been against Israel as a nation. George Washington wrote a letter. I've got a copy of it. He wrote a letter to the Jews who settled up in Rhode Island, the Jewish people who came here to settle. And the United States has always been good to him. Now, there's been, you know, anti-Semitism, hot spots of it, just like there has for every other race of people and thing that goes on in here, but our country blessed the Jews. Our country, and that's why we're so blessed. That's why we need to make sure with our prayers, and this is, you know, these prayers here make a difference, to pray that we continue as a nation, because it's going the other direction, and it has been for several years, and I won't get into that. This is a new year for Israel. They just started their new year. And it's year 5777. 5 is the number of grace, and you got 3 sevens. There's going to be a lot of things completed within this next year. It ends next September, October. So we've got a lot of good things coming up, I'm telling you. God is so awesome. And then over here in Psalm 122, this is the other one I wanted to read for you. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they may prosper who love you. Whoever loves Jerusalem and prays for the peace of Jerusalem is going to prosper. This is a promise from God. Do you need to prosper?
Amen.
I do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you need to be blessed? Bless Israel. Bless the Jews. How do I do that? Well, you can talk to me after church, because there's an organization that I'm going again. I'm going again in March. And what we do is we go to the people who are coming in from all over the world and making these, they call them communities, but our government and the UN and everybody calls them settlements, as if it's a dirty word. But they call them communities because they're coming in there and building themselves little towns and places to live. And I talked with them. They are the most loving, humble people, kind, caring. They're not violent. There's not a violent bone in their body. So I believe that God wants us to be aware, and that's just what I'm doing everywhere we go. I'm making people aware of these scriptures and aware that Israel needs our prayers, and we're going to see more and more of them prospering and being victorious.
Amen.
Because God's hand is on that nation.
Amen.
And no matter who tries to destroy it, they're not going to be able to do it. And I could talk from now on, but I've got a little booklet. I'll send one to Laverne, or I'll advertise it on Facebook, and you guys can get one. But I've written about my experiences over there, and how I got there, and what God is doing there. It's just a little 3-chapter book, but it's going to be informational, and you can get more than what I can say this morning. And then I wanted to bring up...
I'll say something about that.
Oh, okay. I was going to talk about your book.
Nah, I'll talk about it. Talk about it later.
God bless you. Thanks for listening to me.
Amen. And the lady that was in our church speaking about Israel was Kimberly Williams. You guys know her, and she come from down here in this part of the country. You know, it's funny how we got to meet them, how we met Kimberly and her mother. Well, we met her mother. We hadn't met Kimberly. When we met her mother, I had Andrew Womack come to Indiana and do a meeting for us, and she drove up because she was a fan of Andrew's, Kimberly's mother.
Kim was 10 years old.
Yeah, she was 10 years old. But then later, when we were teaching out in the Bible college, Kimberly, she came and stayed with us. She lived with us. And so we was able to bless her. But she's a blessing. She took this job, I can't remember now how long ago it was, but she has really hit the ground running with it, and she does a great work over there. And what they do is they go into those communities and they talk to the people and they help them. You know, they don't try to preach the gospel to them because over there, you know, do you know that the Jews, and it's true, it was Christians, they call themselves Christians, that was responsible for the Holocaust.
Yeah, right.
And so they don't trust Christians. They think they're either trying to convert them or kill them.
Yeah.
And one's just as bad as the other when you're trying to do something like that. Amen. And so they just talk to them and in the name of Jesus and act like Christians around them and love on them and treat them like the Bible tells them we're supposed to treat them. And in doing that, they realize that all Christians are not always trying to convert them or kill them. Amen? You know, sometimes we preach the gospel more by not saying anything than we do saying stuff. You know, people say, you know, you're the only Bible that some people's ever read. I was going out to visit I've got used to going to prisons now. I've got a grandson just got out of prison. I've got a son in prison. I've got a prison ministry. And I was going to visit Dustin Lee, my oldest grandson, and I was walking down through there, and they have a place there where they have Bibles there. And one of them was an atheist Bible. An atheist Bible. And I went past it, and I looked back at it, and I wanted to open it to see what it said. And I figured, well, it'll just be a bunch of blank pages. I mean, what could an atheist Bible say? I heard somebody say the other day, he said, I don't have faith enough to be an atheist. Come on. I don't see how anybody can be an atheist. I don't see you can have that much faith to be an atheist. You know, not to believe in God, amen. I mean, that takes a lot of faith, not to believe in God. I've believed in God now for how many years?
46
years. Next year, and I'm inviting this church, amen, Shirley, and as many as you can come. Next year, we're going to have our 40-year ministry celebration out in Missouri. And we'd like for you guys to come and celebrate with us. And I've already started calling people back in Indiana that was a part of our ministry and people that have been touched with miracles. You know, we had a lot of people that would be in heaven today if I hadn't interfered with them. I'm going to have them come and testify. We just got a lot of things going on that we're excited about. Amen. It's been a long, long haul. Gerald and I was talking about this yesterday, and I said, Gerald, I said, I had just recovered. I hadn't been out of the house in how long? 2 or 3 weeks. And Jerry took off to go to Colorado to go to the minister's conference, and that night the ambulance came and picked me up and took me to the emergency room. So I went in and I tried to tell them that there wasn't anything wrong. I said, the only thing wrong with me is I can't walk. My legs won't hold me up. My arms won't. I said, that's all the things wrong with me. I said, I don't know. You know, and they checked everything. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. You know, I didn't have anything wrong with me. So if I fall over here this morning, there won't be anything wrong with me. just make sure I don't land on the mic. Amen. I can keep talking. But you know, the devil is, we got to compare notes and stuff, and the devil is attacking people. Man, he is working overtime, amen, attacking people, especially people that's preaching the message, amen. And I love the grace message, Shirley. I think you know that. I love it. I love the grace message. And I come down here one time, and so I remember I was down here one time on a Wednesday night, and I was teaching something out of 1 John 3, and I kept trying to get an amen. I'd take my hand up like that, and Gerald finally said, Clifton, he said, you can't eat and talk at the same time. In other words, I was preaching something, you know, that was new to all of us, and I finally got it that night, too. But it's so amazing when you start seeing what grace is all about and how the whole New Testament, amen, when they started preaching the apostles started preaching, they were all the time teaching people their liberty and their freedom that they had from the curse of the law. You know, the whole New Testament said. Matter of fact, When in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, where it says, he said, this is the covenant that I'll make with you in these days, saith the Lord. And he talks about all the things that he's going to do, you know. And the last thing, the last part of that covenant, he said, you won't have to have you won't have to teach your neighbor and your sons and your daughters, you know the Lord. He said, for they'll all know me from the least to the greatest, amen, all the youngest to the oldest. He said, and here's why they'll know me. Now listen to this. He said, here is why they will know me, that you won't have to teach them what I'm like. He said, I'll be merciful to their ungodliness and their sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more. Now think about that for a minute. Most of the time, amen, people get scared, amen, and get saved because they're afraid that God is not going to be merciful to their ungodliness. And so they go into salvation not even knowing what God's like. And they can't get a hold of this if they do love him. And the same people that go into that out of fear and go into believing in God out of fear, amen, will tell you that they love God. And they're the same people will tell you, I love him even though he killed my kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't know him. You see what I'm saying? They don't know him. And you can't say that you love God unless you first know that he loved you. And so God wanted you to find out what that was like from the very get-go, amen, in the new covenant, amen. I want you to know this. I want you to know this thing. You'll know me when you know this, that I'm going to be merciful to your ungodliness, and your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Now, if God said he'd remember them no more, do you think he'd remember them? Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. I was sitting here thinking about one time I was down here and I'll give a word of knowledge at this camp meeting. And I'd preached, I don't even know what I preached back then. I can't even remember what I preached back before I started. What was it? Grace then? Even then? And I got a word of knowledge. It was kind of a detailed word of knowledge and I spoke it out. And nobody responded. And I used to, if I spoke a word of knowledge out and nobody responded, it just shot me down. I mean, it shot me down. See, that shows you who your confidence was in. It wasn't in me. It wasn't in him. It was in me, wasn't it? But it just shot me down. And I didn't know what to say after that. And I was getting ready, and Gerald got up and whispered in my ear, and he said, you go ahead and do what God told you to do. And so I did. And there was people healed and all kinds of things happened. But I was sitting over there recalling that about. She's going to take it, I guess. The button. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to stand beside you and you're so pretty. I forgot what I was saying. But anyway, I was sitting over recalling this, and then I thought about this. You know, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. If God shows you something and if man don't respond, amen, it's not, God's not the liar. Come on. And how many times have we seen this happen, that later on, after the service was over, somebody would come up to me and say, that was me. And you just want to slap them. You know, now you're going to need healing, brother, because I'm going to knock you cold. You know, and it just makes you feel that way because it slams the door on what God's trying to do, see? But if you're man enough and if you're spiritual enough, amen, to live through that, it'll work out all right. But it still don't make God look good, but God is still true and man is a liar, amen. Let God be true. So thinking about that, I've thought about a lot of different ways I could go here. And I want to say this about Sister Shirley while we're going there in the Bible. I got my Bible in this thing here now. I've become high tech, and sometimes I'm a little more higher than I am tech. But anyway, I want to save that scripture. How to do that? Okay, I know what I'm doing. All right. I want to start with this, right? This verse right here. It's in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And by the way, Shirley, what I was going to say was Gerald and Laverne has a high regard for you. I asked him, I said, "How's Shirley doing?" He said, "Great. She's doing great." And so they love you and for what you're doing, and the church loves you. Amen?
Amen.
And so this church is going on, and couldn't have been established by anybody any greater. I love Gerald Rutherford. How many of you know I love Gerald Rutherford? I told him yesterday, I said, "Gerald Rutherford, I said, you're the best friend I've got. I said, I ain't going to let you die. I won't have any friends left." And he told me that I was his best friend. So that made me feel good, you know, in the ministry, as far as that goes. Now, here's the key to a lot of things. Let's just begin reading in the Gospel of John. And I think I know where this is taking me. But sometimes if I know where it's taking me, why, God changes it because he don't want me to know where I'm going. He'd rather do it his way. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who was that Word? Who was that Word? It was Jesus, wasn't it? In the beginning, before any of this ever happened, before anything happened. Somebody said one time, said, "Where did God come from?" And I say, "I don't know, but he was there in the beginning, and you can't go back any further than that." Come on, can you go back any further than that? I don't think that God wanted us to know anything before the beginning. But in the beginning, it was God and it was Jesus. Come on, he had a plan, didn't he? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, think about that. That makes Jesus pretty important, doesn't it? Nothing that was made was made without Jesus in mind. Praise God. I know where I want to go, but let me say this right here now. If everything in the beginning was made by Jesus and for Jesus, and nothing was made that was made without him, was it not anything made that was made? Who are you in now? Who are you in? Are you in Jesus? Yeah. Amen. That's how important we are. In other words, everything that was made by him and for him. Everything that God has made, amen, is for us. There's not anything that's made that's not been made for us. We need to live like we're the possessors, amen, of this life that God giveth. We possess this thing because God made it possible. It's just like it was in the beginning. It says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men."
Yes.
His life in you is your light.
Yes.
Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know when your light shines the most is when you know Jesus the most, amen?
Right.
When you're aware of how much Jesus is in you, amen, you get brighter.
Right.
Come on. You may say, "Well, I'm not very bright." Praise God. Well, look to Jesus. He'll make you brighter.
Right.
I've had people say before to me, they'd say, "I don't feel very bright. I don't feel like my light's very bright." And I always tell them this. I say, "Go to a darker place." Amen. Any light is appreciated in a dark place. Amen.
Right.
I use my cell phone a lot. Amen. To go out and feed the chickens. Not much of a light, but it's better than stepping in chicken do. You know what I'm saying? Hen do. I've told you that story before, haven't I? I was getting ready to pray for this guy over in India. And in India, they go to the temple. And the way they show that they've been to the temple, every Hindu goes to the temple. And the temple is just looks like a, you know, an outhouse that they've put plaster on the sides. I mean, it's this little old thing. You know, that's a temple. They have them all around different places. And of course, they've got bigger temples too. But they'll have the temples and they'll have little replicas of all their gods. But in there is this little thing of whatever it is. And they stick their finger in that and they rub it on their forehead. Well, it'll kind of, you know, the heavier part will be kind of an orangey brown color, and then the color around it kind of white. And I found out that's why they call them Hindus. Okay. Anyway, I was getting ready to pray for this guy, and CP said, Ah, Pastor. That's the way he talks in English. I can't talk like he does in whatever the other talk, but that's the way he talks in English. Ah, Pastor. He said, this is a Hindu. I said, I don't care if he's a hoodoo. I mean, God didn't send me over there just to pray for people that wasn't Hindus. Good gosh, half the country's Hindus over there, all the biggest part of the country. And so, you know, the Hindus, and I always think about that, you know. That's how they can tell. They've been to the temple. All right. And the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came from for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Now, wouldn't this be a kicker right here? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Amen. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many, listen to this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Man, do you know Jesus today? That's powerful. That's powerful to just know that you're Jesus. Are you a son of God today? Do you know, do you realize that you're a son of God? The next obstacle that you come up against, amen, see yourself as a son of God, not somebody that's trying to get over an obstacle. Come on. See yourself as God sees you. Come on. So anyway, it says he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. God, even to them that, and this is us, believe on his name, even to them that wasn't there when he came in, amen, but can believe that he was there. We believe on his name. Mm-hmm. Believe on his name. Amen. Amen. Now, I read that to get over here, and I want to get to the, let's go down to the 15th verse. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of all his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now look at this. For the law, now listen to this, for the law was given by Moses. Given by Moses. That's the way the people saw it too. They saw Moses, amen, give the law. I was talking about this last Sunday, and I'm not talking about the same message, but I was thinking, you know, when Moses come down from the mountain the first time, and he saw the people that they'd built a golden calf, and was making merry and having all kinds of and partying, come on. And here he comes with all these laws that telling them the thou shalt nots, and they was doing all the thou shalt nots. They was doing them all. And so he got mad and throwed the Ten Commandments down. He was the first one to break the law.
That's right.
Amen. Throwed the Ten Commandments down and then said, oops. And he had to run back up and get God, amen, before he turned off his computer so he could print some more. And how would you like to have been Moses when you went back up to God and said, can you make me another set of them? You know, can you chisel me out 10 more of them in stone? Man, what a deal.
Yeah.
What a deal. I was talking to my brother back there, you know, where'd he go? There he is, sitting back there. You know, when Moses, and I learned this from Gerald Rutherford, he came out to our church one day, and he was talking about how that our names, when we're born into this world, our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I used to always think that when we got saved was when our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've even told people that before. I said, your name got wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got saved. But Gerald brought out the point, you know, there's two places it talks about being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life or keeping your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one of them was when Moses was talking to God, when he went back up there to get the second group of commandments. And God said, I'm going to start all over with you. I wish God would tell me that sometimes about some of the churches I've pastored. I wouldn't plead for God, amen, to do anything. I'd say, okay. He said, I want to start over with you. And Moses said, now, wait a minute, God. He said, wait a minute. He said, how could you do this? I mean, what are they going to say back in Egypt? What's Pharaoh going to say? Are they going to say that there wasn't enough graves in Egypt that we had to leave there to get out of here so he could bury us all? What are they going to say? What's he going to think about you leading us out here to kill us? And you know what it said? It says, God repented. God repented. That means God. Now, people think, well, repentance means to turn away from your sins and never go back. Repentance means change your mind. God changed his mind. He changed the way he was thinking. He said, you know what? I won't do that. He said, I will not blot their names out of the book of life. Their names is already in there. So it's not our place, amen, to try to get her name in. It's our place to keep her name in there.
Yeah.
Not to get it in, to keep it in.
Yeah.
And the way you keep it in is to believe.
Right.
Believe what? Believe that God was so good that he put our name, amen, in the book of life the day we were born.
Glory. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He might have even put it in there when we were conceived.
Amen.
Now, there are some people that wouldn't believe that.
Yes.
But they don't believe our name's in there anyway. Come on, I'm doing a little politics here with you. But, you know, and that's how good God is. I mean, we've reduced God down to the way our neighbor thinks. We've reduced God down to the way our husband thinks about us or our wife thinks about us, amen? That's not the way God sees you. That's not the way God, amen, reviews you, amen? He sees you as he created you. And he says, here's how you'll know me. You got to know me. You got to get to know me because here's how you'll know me. Everybody will know me, and this is the only way that you really can know me is that I'll be merciful to your ungodliness.
Thank you, God.
And your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more.
Well,
that's a good God.
Amen.
When people say God's good, and everybody says all the time, but you know, people will say that, and then you think God's mad at you.
Right. Come on.
I don't want a God that's mad at me.
Right.
You know, hey, Paul was talking about himself in Romans, the 7th chapter, when he was saying, you know, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And he said, the things that I wish I could do, I find myself not being able to do it. And he goes on all this. Let me tell you something. If Paul didn't believe that he could please God by his good works, what chance you think you've got?
Come on.
He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who can deliver me from this body? Who can deliver me from dragging this dead man around? I've been trying to resurrect him, but he stays dead. Come on. I can't find that man anymore. I can't find that man that believes that I'm good with right with God because of my works. I can't find that man anymore. Come on. But you know, when something goes wrong, a lot of times we jump right back to the dead man.
Right.
We think, I know how I can make this up to God. I'll do better. Well, doing good wasn't enough. What's better going to do? You know, does anybody listen to me?
Yes.
So, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? He said, thanks be to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next verse that a lot of people don't read, it says, so then with the flesh, he said, I'll serve sin. But with my spirit, he said, I'll serve the law of God.
Right.
Amen. Now let me tell you what the law, would you like for me to tell you what the law of God is?
Yeah.
You know, over there in Hebrews where it says, I'll write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. He wasn't talking about the Ten Commandments. Come on, why would he want to write something in your heart and mind that he's abolished? Read it in 2 Corinthians, you know, the 3rd chapter. But everybody needs to study the 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Study it, read it, study it, read it, study it, read it until it gets in you so big, amen, that the next thing comes out of your mouth is that I'm alive because of Jesus.
That's right.
I'm righteous because of Jesus.
That's right.
And I'm being changed, amen, from glory to glory. And when it's talking about glory to glory there in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, he's not talking about a church that has a glory service 1 week and then we go from that glory to the next glory. He's saying that, you know, that thing that seemed glorious to the people when God gave the law by Moses, come on, but the law was given by Moses, that thing that they thought was so glorious, Moses' face was shining so bright when he come down off the mountain with that second group of commandments that it was glorious, but it was a fading glory because it was fading away. And so he didn't want the people to see that because he wanted the people to put their confidence in this law that had been given. So they put a veil over his head, a mask over his head, so that they couldn't see that this wasn't the everlasting glory. And it says, if that being glorious, if the letter that killeth is glorious, how much more glorious is the life that we have in Christ Jesus? How much more glorious is the life we have in the Spirit? How much more glorious? And it goes on down to there. So then we're changed from glory to glory. What glory? From the fading glory to the everlasting glory. Amen. So look up here at me. Look at me. I'm going to say this to you. You probably won't be able to say this when you look in the mirror because you don't see yourself like I see you. You're as glorious as you're ever going to be. Come on. Come on. You're as glorious as you'll ever be because Jesus, amen, is that glory living inside of you, shining inside of you. And we're changed from glory to glory by looking into the face of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's what'll change you. Come on.
That's right.
Wives would like to get their husbands to change and nag at them all the time. And you don't look in her face and see change. You might see change wives. But if she treated you, if she acted like Jesus around you, you'd know that you needed to change some things. She wouldn't have to say nothing. And when you looked at her face, amen, you'd be changed from jerk to less jerk. Come on. Amen. That's the counseling that we give people all the time. You know, when they're having trouble, but say, be Jesus in your home. Be Jesus to your wife. Be Jesus to your husband. Be Jesus in your home. If Jesus can't change him, you don't stand a chance. Amen? Man, this is better than I thought it was. I'm going to have to buy this tape. Is this being live streamed? I mean, can they see it? Huh?
Yeah,
Gerald Laverne can see this?
Yeah.
Love that. I love you, Gerald Rutherford. All right. And Laverne. For the law was given by Moses, but look at this. Look at this. Are you ready for this? Uh-huh. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It wasn't given. It came.
Yeah.
Come on. It wasn't given. It came. It came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is grace and truth.
Yeah.
Amen. You got Jesus living in your heart, you got grace and truth living in your heart. You know what grace and truth will tell you? That I know God because He forgives me and He's merciful to all my ungodliness.
Right.
And my sins and iniquities I'll remember no more.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's better than this.
Yeah.
Get the nurses around you, Gerald, and have somebody say amen. What a deal. That grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the law that God wrote into your heart, in the new covenant, I'll write my law in their heart and their mind, is this. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law. That's God's law. Moses' law didn't say that, did it? Moses' law, you had to do this, you had to do that, you had to. God's law says it's what Christ has done.
Right.
He did something that none of us could ever do.
Right.
Amen. And so it's His life that's in my heart. And you know what? The next time that you come up against an obstacle and you wonder how God feels about this and all, you know, here's what you need to say to yourself. God, I thank you so much that you wrote your law in my heart and in my mind, and this is it. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you got saved, you were set free from the law of sin and death. I mean, you were set free then. But see, it wants to creep back up on you. Our flesh, because he said, because with the flesh, he said, I'll serve the law of, I'll serve sin. But he said, with my spirit, I'll serve the law of life or serve God. That flesh, that your flesh, our flesh is looking for a place to sin.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not talking about the down and dirties. I'm talking about our flesh is always looking for some way to gratify ourselves, amen, or to do something to make us feel like we look better to God.
Right.
Some women think that looking better to God is not wearing lipstick. No makeup.
Right.
Dresses that drag the ground.
Right.
That's serving the flesh.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
That's serving the flesh. And so when you serve the flesh, here's what happens when you serve the flesh. Anytime that you know, people, we used to have this saying, you know, in the movement today, you know, I got in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that don't line up with the Word, because the Word of God says this. That if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you can't get in the flesh. You're not of the flesh. You can't get in the flesh.
Amen.
Come on. So if you can't get in the flesh, then when we, here's what causes a person to get in the flesh. We don't see ourselves get, when we do that is when we'd have road rage. Come on. I was preaching out in Colorado and this woman had brought this man, sat on the front row, and I could tell he was as lost as a goose. And he just sat there. And the Holy Spirit showed me, said, he's going to get saved and filled the Holy Ghost tonight. And I thought, let God be true. And then every man is a liar, because I didn't believe it. And so I was talking about, and Colorado is the road rage capital of the world. I mean, you have kids sticking their head out the window hollering at you. I mean, it's crazy. And I said, you know, here's what I do for road rage. I said, I pray in tongues. I said, I found out you can't cuss in tongues. Somebody runs you off the road, go, it makes you feel better, but you wasn't cussing. And so I preached that and this guy comes up after the service. I was praying for people. He comes up and he said, what is it you said you did for road rage? And I was just kind of kidding. He said, man, I need that. He said, by the time I get to work, he said, I'm so grouchy nobody can talk to me. He said, I'm a mess. He said, because of road rage. I said, you pray in tongues. I said, do you pray in tongues? He said, no. I said, well, then here's what you do. You get saved and ask Jesus to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. He said, okay. He asked Jesus in his heart, prayed for the Holy Ghost, and walked out of there, amen, with a free from road rage. As far as anybody knew, amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, you never know what, but that's how good God is. You know, God is a God that knows how to meet us, amen. But when we get in the flesh, when we do fleshly things, most of the time when we do flesh, how many of you know if you do something that's a sin, you know it's a sin?
Yeah.
We used to go to this church where they said, pray for the sins that you don't know you commit. I never committed a sin I didn't know I committed. They'd say, pray for the sin of omission, you know, omission, intermission, and transmission. And all these other things. And I'd lay down of a night, and all I had to talk to God about was my sins. I just confessed everything. I said, you know, God, I don't know whether I sinned today or not, but I said, you do. Forgive me. Well, how much confidence is that in a God, amen, that says, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more? But I didn't know that then, you see. But I found out some things since then, amen. I found out some things since then. I found out that My sins and iniquities he remembers no more.
Thank you, God.
And if I get in the flesh and act like an idiot, God's not holding that against me. He knew I was an idiot. Why do I need to confess that to him? God, I want to come and tell you I was an idiot today. He said, you was an idiot 3 days ago. Come on. It's just now catching up with you. That's crazy. You know, some of the prayers we pray, some of the things that we say to God and then expect him to straighten it out. Come on. You live in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Amen. As many as are the children of God, they're the ones that are led by the Spirit. And you know what that means? That doesn't mean you pull up to a stoplight and go, You may be in the wrong lane. He may say, turn that away. You over here, you get a ticket. What it means is, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the Son. How many of you know that you were saved by the Spirit and not the law? Your flesh was good for nothing. And here's why. Your flesh couldn't keep the law.
Right.
If you had depended on your flesh to keep the law, you would burn in hell.
That's right.
So why trust your flesh for anything?
That's right.
And that's what it means over there when it talks about the works of the flesh are these, and it names all these terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they named them all just in case you thought you had one that wasn't fit there. It'll fit.
Yep.
It's related to one of them.
Yep.
Come on. And that's all your flesh is good for. That's what he was saying. The only thing your flesh is good for is that. Even if you're trying to do good works.
Yeah.
Galatians 5, I think it is, where it talks about, you know, he talks about these things. And he says, if you have go back under the law and try to serve God by the law or make yourself right by the law, you have fallen from grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've fallen from grace. I went to a church that said, once saved, always saved. And they said they believed in grace, but they didn't. Because when they said, once saved, always saved, and then if somebody sinned, I'd say, well, what about this guy here? I said, you say once saved, always saved. He said, well, he wasn't saved.
Oh.
I said, well, he was too. You're the one that led him to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you talking about? You know, we have some stupid things, amen. You know, why would anybody even say once saved, always saved? Why would that even be a question? Why would you even question yourself, amen? Why would that even be a question that if you're saved, you're not going to stay saved? Come on.
Right.
If you trust in what saved you, he can keep you.
That's right.
People that have to worry about that are the ones that didn't believe, amen, that the reason that they were getting saved was because he was merciful to their ungodliness. They saw him as a God that was judgeful of their ungodliness. And they thought, I better get saved so I don't have to face the judgment of God. In the 12th chapter of John, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he was teaching. And they weren't receiving too much, so he went outside. And he said this. He said, God, he said, glorify my name. And God spoke out of heaven. He said, I have glorified your name, and I'll continue to glorify your name. Some people that standing around there said, that was thunder. Others said, you know, they said, that was God speaking. Others, and Jesus said, he didn't say that for my benefit. He said it for your benefit. Now listen to this. He said, the prince of this world has been judged. But he said, the subject's judgment, the prince of this world has been judged. The subject's judgment. I could turn there, but I'm too excited to turn there. I want to, you know, check me out. Every man a liar. God is true. Check me out. He said, the prince of this world is judged. But he said, but if I be lifted up, subject's judgment, I will draw all, and most Bible says men, but if you read it in there, you'll see that word man has been put in italic, which means man added it. Wasn't in the original transcript, man added it. So if you take that out, it reads like this. If I be lifted up, but subject still judgment, I will draw all unto me. All what? All judgment. All judgment. We've sang that song, lift Jesus higher, lift him up on the world to see. I'll draw him into me. No, he's going to draw all judgment to him. That's a whole lot better than the deal.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
Has he been lifted up? Has Jesus been lifted up? He was talking about how he's going to die on a cross. He was lifted up on the cross. And when he was put on the cross, all judgment, all sins, all iniquities was placed on him. All judgment was placed on him. Amen? That's good news. That's a good God, amen? That's why, amen, we can believe what he says in his new covenant. Come on, are we going to believe the word of God, what it says, or are we going to believe what somebody else has told us? You know, most people only know what somebody has told them about God. They don't ever get in there and see for themselves and let the Spirit of God. You know, I don't know how long I've been preaching this grace message now, but I've preached it a long time. And I'll be in meeting. I was right here in Kentucky, in this building, one night. And this woman come up, and there was a bunch of people wanting to talk to me. This woman come up, and she took up all my time. And I thought she was a member of the church here. After the service, I asked Gerald, I said, who was that woman? He said, I've never seen her before. I don't know who she was. But she was talking about how I don't see how you can just say this and say that and say this and say that. What about if somebody just goes out here and does all these things? And I said, what do you got against your husband? And she was talking about her husband. She had her nose to the grindstone, amen, you know, trying to do her best for God, and he was just living like a jerk, amen, and said to God loved him. And who had the better concept of God? I mean, who had the most likely, amen, concept of God that would cause them to be saved? Come on. The Bible says it's not the wrath of God, amen, that causes a person to repentance, amen. It's his goodness that causes a person to repent. It's God's goodness that causes a person to repent. And so we've had the wrong attitude with God. We're always scared that this next thing we're going to do, God's going to judge us for it. This next thing or this thing, or we even bring stuff back in the past. People say, well, you know, I'll say, Jesus died for your sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
And they say, well, how could he die for your future sins? Because he did it 2,000 years ago. That was future.
Right.
You hadn't even sinned
right
when he died for your sins. Amen. We just need to take a different look at it. And you know, if you really see the concept of grace, it doesn't cause you to want to go out and sin. It causes you to want to worship him. It causes you to want to praise him. It causes you to want to tell other people about how good God is. But I don't know how many times I've preached it, and people would come up to me and say, you know, I've never heard what you said before, but he said, I know it's true. I wonder why that would be. You suppose the spirit inside of you might be in agreement with his spirit since he gave it to you? You know, come on. I have never disagreed with a message that made God look bigger and better than I had opinion of. I'll always listen to somebody that's got a better opinion than God than me. But I very seldom listen to someone that's trying to teach me where I come from. Amen. I don't want that no more. I don't want to hear that no more. I don't know how I could keep from believing what I believe now. For so long, I don't understand. I don't see. It's an open book test. And what, let me ask you a question. What would you rather, I mean, you know, the Indians, they don't have any spirit living in them. But they got sense enough to know that they've got 33 million solid gods, million gods. And then if there's an occasion where the 33 won't cover it, they'll make yourself another one.
Right.
They'll just make yourself another one. But you know what the kind they make? They always make one that's able to take care of the problem that's in their life. And they worship it. So what? Why would we want to worship something, amen, that's not capable of taking care of us? Why would we want to worship someone that we don't know whether he's going to slap us or kiss us? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I could go on and on and on, but I never did get to where I wanted to go. But let me talk about this book for a second. And I don't care whether you buy this book or not. But this book, this was transcribed from a teaching I did in Kansas City. How many years ago, Jerry? 1995. And you say, well, I don't want to listen to something that old. But it's relevant for today and any time. And somebody heard that tape and they wanted to transcribe it. There's some other people in there that when this book came out, they bought 50 copies to take to their churches. And it's called Saint or Sinner, How Does God Deal with the Sins of His Saint? And it just covers some of the stuff I was talking about here, but probably a little bit more. I'm probably a little bit more in depth than what this is, but this is just so simple. I got to seeing in the Word of God where in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, where you're living under the law, there were certain rules and things you had to do to get forgiven. And they'd bring sacrifices and to the priest, and that sacrifice had to be without blemish and without spot. But when a sacrifice was brought to the sacrificial lamb was brought to the priest, he didn't look at you, he didn't look at the person that was bringing it, he looked at the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice was acceptable, you were forgiven. And you were forgiven for a year. And you didn't have to come back for another year. Your sins were forgiven for a year. But it said they couldn't be rid of a sin consciousness because they had to go back once a year. It said they couldn't be rid of an evil conscience because they had to go back once a year and offer a sacrifice. And we've taught people that they had to confess every sin that they made, you know, 50 times a day. How in the world are you going to get rid of a sin consciousness if you're constantly talking about what you did? Come on. We need to get a hold of this, that we've been forgiven once and for all. And 1 John 1:9 was not written, amen, to a believer. It was written to someone who believed in God, but they didn't believe in Jesus yet. And John said in that, he was talking to this person, 1 John 1:9, you know what it is, that if you confess your sins, God's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse them all in righteousness. But he was talking to somebody and he said, you know, I want you to know this. He said, I say these things, so we can have fellowship together, but here's what he said. Truly, my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. This other guy didn't have any fellowship with the Son. He was a Jew, he believed in God, amen, but he didn't know about Jesus. And so he told him, if you'll confess Jesus, he'll forgive you, cleanse you from all your sins. And he said, if you haven't sinned, he said, then the Word's not in you. But then to the Christian, to the believer, after this guy gets saved, he says, but if you do sin, after that in the second chapter, first John, he says, I say these things unto you, little children, that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Amen. Now, what are we, sinners, or do we have an advocate with the Father? Amen. See? And that's all in this book. So, I brought a few of them in. If you want them, you can. Do we need to sell these? Or?
Do we need to sell them? Whatever.
I don't want to sell them. I'll give them to you. So, the first come, first serve. But if you get one and you like it, pass it around. Amen. As old Dave Duell used to say, a copyright on it. He said, if you copy it right. Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody been ministered to here today? Anybody's eyes opened up to anything? You know, when you come to a church like this where you got Shirley teaching and Gerald's teaching, you know, you very seldom ever And I don't ever go someplace trying to teach something that I think they don't know. That's not my job. I don't do it. And I certainly don't try to influence anybody and try to make them think I'm intelligent. That's as hard as I've tried, I never could do that. But I just want people to live a freer life, amen, in God. And just in that book, I said, you know, you get a hold of what I was saying in this book. I said, you'll spend more time making tracks than you will trying to cover them. Amen. How many have been that way? Christian covering your tracks. Christian covering your tracks.
Yeah.
But we don't need to be that way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Pray for
them. Amen. I want to pray for anybody that wants prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been 6 years ago now since we lost our oldest son. And that was a time in our lives, you know, that it was a tough time. That was a tough time. I love my son. I love all my kids, but I love my oldest son. I have my oldest son. Man, he was hanging around me before the rest of them come. And you know, when you lose someone that you love and care for so much, it hurts. But my understanding is this, you know, I've never questioned God. I've never said, well, God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I've heard other people question and do all kinds of things, and people will say things, you know, trying to make you feel better. And they mean well, but most of them don't know what they're talking about. But I asked God one time, I said, God, why haven't I ever questioned you? Why don't I ever question you? And here's what he said to me, and he wasn't trying to be funny, and he wasn't trying to belittle me or anything. He just said to me, he said, because you wouldn't understand if I told you. You know, you wouldn't understand if I told you. And so I thought, you know what, if I can't understand the things that happens in people's lives, does it, and wouldn't even understand if he told me, then I think I'll just trust him. I think I'll just trust him. You know, just put my trust in him, put my life in him, his hands, and just trust him, just trust God. I do know this, that God has our well-being at heart. He sure does. And my God, the one I serve, didn't want that to happen. I've had people come up and say, well, God just wanted to take him home. No, I don't believe that. And you know, if I thought that God caused that, if I thought he caused that in any way, I'd never serve him another day of my life. Because he wouldn't be the God of the Bible, you see what I'm saying? And so I just, I know God's a receiver. Thank God he's a receiver. But he's a giver, not a taker. Amen.
And I feel like there's someone right now sitting there thinking that you don't understand something. You don't have to come up for prayer unless you want to. But I just want to tell you, we don't understand everything. But what God wants you to do if you don't understand something that's happening is just to trust him. Just trust. You know, as long as you're trusting him, you've got an anchor. You've got hope. But there's a lot of things we don't understand that happened on this earth because we believe God. We're faithful. We're givers. You know, we're doing all we know to do and have a heart toward him. And then something blindsides you. And you don't understand, but we can still trust him because he'll bring you through and you've got good things coming. And I really feel like that's a word for this church also, is hope, that there's good things right around the corner. And our place is just to not quit before they come. I know a lot of people along my Christian life, nearly 50 years of walking with the Lord, I've seen a lot of people quit right before their breakthrough. There's just nowhere to quit, even at its worst. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other one, trusting God, walking even if you're blind, even if you feel like you're blind to faith. You
Amen.
Keep on going, and he will show up. God has never failed. My life's theme is God is faithful.
Yeah.
People ask me, how are you doing, Jerry? I say, well, Jesus is Lord and God's on the throne, and he's faithful. People aren't faithful. Circumstances aren't faithful. They will let you down. But our God, who is awesome God, great and mighty is he, right? He will never fail you. Even when it looks like it's a failure at one corner, you just keep going. And he's got a blessing around the next corner. We had situation after situation not that long ago that it just seemed like beat down, bad things are happening. We just kept trusting God, doing what we're supposed to do, preaching the word anyway. And now we got lots of wonderful things going on in our family.
Amen.
Praise God, the prisoner who was in prison for 6 years, our grandson, he came out of prison. Now, this is the favor of God. Some of you need the favor of God on your family. And I'm telling you, we just prayed for him. We'd go visit him and pour the word into him. He read my book. And that really gave him some... He loved my book. He drew the rose that's on my book. And the very day that we picked him up, my daughter and I went and picked him up from the prison. And he got out. And we found out that... there was a job opening the next day. Well, he went the next day now. He went to Goodwill and got him some work clothes and packed him a lunch. Went to work, got hired. This was in April. He got hired in April. He's been promoted. They're sending him to carpentry school now. He gets raise after raise. He bought him a car. This is a prisoner that just got out that most people wouldn't give the time of day. He's a felon, a convicted felon. He's got a nice place to live now. He's getting married in a few weeks. This is what God will do. Amen. That's what God will do. Our own son, Cody. You know, little Cody used to run around here. You know, Cody. Awesome boy, but he got on drugs and couldn't get off of them. And he got sent to prison last March. They gave him 10 years in prison. They said, you're going to prison for 10 years. She dropped that gavel, and away he went. And Jesus, help us. Well, favor of God. Once he got off the drugs, he was fine. You know, he got put in jail and got clean from the drugs, and then he got put in the hole for 10 days, and he said God downloaded. He said, Mom, he downloaded. And he is saying things that are deeper than even what we say. God showed him things and called him, or actually Cody answered the call to the ministry that's been in his life all the time. Now he's getting out in February. He won't even be in a year. Gave him 10 years, and now he's going to be out in 11 months. He can't wait to get out and start preaching, and he wants to go to Colorado Bible College where we taught, you know, at Andrews College. He wants to go there. And I went there. I thought, there's no way. I went there in October, the first of this month. Every person I ran into gave me favor. I left Colorado after just a few days with Cody having a place to live, a job, and $1,000 of his tuition paid.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, is that a sign? Amen. Is that favor? Listen, God's got the same thing for you.
Yes.
Some of you have been crying in your beds. You've been laying in your bed crying over stuff to do with your family. I'm going to tell you something. God's speaking to you this morning.
Amen.
Wipe those tears away and look
Amen.
At the sun.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you got good things coming.
Yes.
There are good things coming to you. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be so excited, you're just going to be jumping up and down.
Amen.
And you're going to say, well, that's what they said. Well,
Amen.
You know, and then you're going to be able to share that with somebody else. That's what we want to do, don't we? We want to be able to give people hope.
Yes.
People need hope today. Everyone's hurting. Everywhere you go in Walmart, if you're humming a little tune, they're going to want to know what's wrong with you. Well, you're happy today. Well, yes, I am. Well, what's wrong with you? They'll just pour their heart out to you. Walmart's a mission field. Any of your places that you go, JCPenney, it's a mission field. You don't have to go to Israel to be on the mission field or Africa or any of those places. When you leave your house, you're on the mission field.
Last weekend, we set a tent, a little small tent up in the Walmart parking lot right by the door and put up a sign that said free prayer and free water. We give them free water. We give people water. And good. Best time to give water away is when it's cold. They won't take as much. But anyway, we give them free water. But they'll still get the prayer. But we set the sign up and said free prayer. And people would come, you know, and pray. And their hope, listen, people's hope is in this country. People's hope is in what the nation, they say, pray for our country. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference what happens to our country. Amen. I mean, we do need to pray for our country, and we need to believe that God's got. But you know what? He's got you regardless. It doesn't make a difference who gets elected. Jesus is still Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And so it will make a difference to this country, but who knows? I mean, I don't know what God's up to, but He knows. And there may be a time that you won't be able to set that sign up and say free prayer. You know, you might not be able to say anything about Jesus at all anywhere. You know, I mean, that's we know that's coming. We don't know how soon, but we know it's coming. And so we need to get as many people on his side, amen, before that happens, than as we can. Shirley, I just want to speak a word over you. I just keep getting the word visionary, and I know that you probably are a vision. You have a lot of vision for the church and for your life. But I just want to say, you know, that the visions that you've had, you know, God is just going to continue giving you more vision, more vision, more vision. And one of the fears that you've had, and one of the reluctant things you've had about saying some of the things that God has shown you, is you're not sure whether other people will catch the vision. Well, you know, you just speak it out, and you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how many people will get behind you in the visions and stuff that you've seen. And this church is going to flourish, and this church is going to grow. Amen. How many would like to do something different? Amen. How many would like to do something that would cause people to come in here again and like they used to? Amen. And you know, that day's coming, and God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And surely He's going to wake you up in the middle of the night, amen, with visions of things,
amen,
you know, that you see from Him, and share it with the people, amen. They'll get a hold of it, amen. Praise God.
Praise
you guys
God.
Are great people. We talk about when we come down here, we talk about you all the way down here, amen. And then we see what you're like, and then we don't say much about you after that when we leave, but. We just forget what you're like. But, no, we love you. And we love this church. We've been coming here for over 25 years.
Yeah.
Over 25 years we've been coming down here. Amen. A long
We're
time.
We're going to let Shirley close. And yes. We'll be up here if you want to come up for prayer and get a book.
Thank you, Shirley, again.
You're welcome.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Amen. Are you blessed today by that word? Amen. Jerry Clifton, I don't know if you know my testimony. When I first came here, my son was 14 years old. And most of you have heard it. And I came because I was wanting to get him in a good youth group. And I heard about Bonnie and Richard and their youth group flourishing. And being a single mother, I came. And I was working at the nursing home. So I was only off one Sunday a month. But I was here every Sunday morning or every Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I was here a couple of times, and God spoke to my heart, and He said, this is where I want you to stay. I want you to watch the pastors, learn from them, and watch them. And that's what I did. I watched them, I learned, and began to grow, and began to hear things that I had never heard in other churches I'd been. So I want to encourage you today to not give up. Amen. Continue to be faithful where you know God has planted you. And God always gives us enough light for the step that we're on. We just have to say yes and take that step, and then He will provide the light for that step. Amen. There's an offering bucket in the back as you bless the man and woman of God. And just want to encourage you today. If Pastor was here, he would say, don't quit. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Amen. Let's stand today. Father, I just thank you for the word that we received today. That settled word for us, God. I just speak favor over you today, people. I speak of the favor of God rests highly upon you. Everywhere you go, you have favor this week. I call you blessed, and I call you the head and not the tail. I speak favor over your family, over your children that have gone their own way. I decree and declare they're coming back. The word that has been sown in them has not been in vain. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord said, am I not God? And am I not the God of more than enough? I say that I am, and I will continue to be. And as you continually put your trust in me, I will open doors for you that have been shut, that should have never been shut, said the Spirit of Grace. And I will cause you to flourish in the place that I have planted you. And I ask of you to continue to be faithful to me and what I have called you to do. And even as you go, I will make that your mission field. And I will put a word in your heart to speak to that one that is weary and that has given up hope. For I am the God of hope, and I am the God of hope that lives big within you. So allow that to come out of you as you are the light in a world that has grown dark. You will be the light to those that have grown weary and say there, but yet is no hope. But I say unto you again that I am the God of hope. I am that door of hope that you can walk through and find all that you need. So continue to trust me and continue to abide in my word, for it's in my word that you will be anchored. And allow that word to become that unfailing hope that is found in me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jen Clifton are available if you want to talk to them. Go from this place and bless somebody today. Amen.